Okay. Well, two people asked me, I should explain a concept I said in a different class. And like he said, many people listen to it on the internet. So I don't know. I don't know everyone who emails me, but I'll repeat this. So the week's parsha, but I'm going to try to explain one of the powerful teachings of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nosson said this a lot in the Kita Lochus, this concept. So I want to explain a pasuk in the Torah, this week's parsha, and we'll get to the Svidus Roim too. It says in Parshas Behar, the Torah says that you count 7 years, and the eighth year of count 6 years, and the seventh year is Shemitah. The Torah says he counts 7 times 7, and the 50th year is Yovel. That means Yovel is 50th year, which has all the halachas of Shemitah. So it's 6 years and the seventh year, and 7 times 7, which makes it 49. This is the 50th year. It's almost, it is exactly like the Sfira. I explained this last week. Sfira, we count the days, 49 days. The 50th is Shavuos. Here we count also 49 years, not 49 days. We count the years. The 50th year is called Yovel. Now, let me just first explain the mitzvah of Shemitah and Eretz Yisrael. What happens is in Eretz Yisrael, when the Shemitah, but you don't plant, there's no harvesting, there's nothing. Try to picture yourself, all of us have to rely that there's going to be a blessing and we'll have what to eat. And try to picture yourself in a very profound thing, that no harvesting. You know, it's today we bring food from Chile. I was joking about this. I showed one of my daughters, we went to buy grapes, and I told her, I want you to realize it's not the grape season now. I was once, and I showed her in the box in Ralph's, it said Chilean grapes. I went home and I showed her where Chile's on the map. Chile's not next door. You know, so we live in a way that it's hard for us to picture. Imagine the entire Eretz Yisrael, no harvesting for a whole year. Shemitah, it's 2 years not harvesting. And the Torah tells us, I want you to keep Shemitah. That's what the Torah says to us. So the pasuk says a very interesting pasuk. Chisoymri, when you will say, Manoichu bashunu ashviyis, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? Well, what do we eat? The pasuk says, we didn't plant. We didn't gather any of our harvest. What are we going to eat? Now try, every one of us, try to picture yourself. I would tell you, the salary you make this year should last you for 3 years. I think if you really take me serious, you'd get all nervous. We barely make ends meet now on your present salary. And you're telling me, Rabbi, this salary should last me 3 years. And if it's a yovel, 4 years. So hey, to tell you, you're going to ask. Torah says it's Sivisi as Burchusi Lechem. I will command a blessing for you. There will be a blessing. Now there's a famous commentaries all ask a very interesting question. It seems from the Torah, if you're gonna kvetch, I'll give a blessing. That's what it seems. It's Sivis Burchusi. If you really give a kvetch, you kvetch about it. I'll give a blessing. You know, anyone raises children, you know, sometimes the one who fetches gets all the attention. Not because he deserves it, but that's how it is. The Torah says, you're going to fetch really about it. So he said, but if you don't fetch, forget about you. It doesn't make sense. How are we going to eat? So let me tell you what this is quoted by the Chassidish from the Noinim HaMelech. This is quoted by the Sepana and the Malban, But this is a very important thing in Amunah, in Betochen, in faith. The Torah says to us, if you don't kvetch, there will be a big blessing. If you just believe Hashem, straight, you believe that I said, do not plant the seventh year, and you totally rely on me, there's going to be a blessing. You know what type of a blessing? The sixth year is going to be the same amount of bushels of grain that you have every year, except it would be such a blessing, it's going to last you 3 years. That means, let's say your family needs 100 pounds of flour a year, they have 100 pounds. But that 100 pounds will take 3 years to come, so it will be a blessing in the food. Eat a little and be satiated. You know, we today, either we eat all day or we diet all day. You know, that's Americans though. Either we're busy gnashing all day long. The Torah says there's going to be a blessing. You eat a little bit, and that little bit you're going to satiate. That's a bread. Now, if you're going to kvetch, you know what happens when you kvetch? You don't believe me? If you don't believe me, you don't deserve the miracle. You don't deserve a miracle. I gave you a mitzvah, you don't trust me? I gave a mashal in my shul. I gave a mashal, try to picture yourself, a couple walking home from shul Shabbos morning. And they're married 30 years. The husband turns to his wife and says, did you make lunch? Shabbos lunch. She says, of course. And they walk another few blocks. And he asked the same question, did you make lunch? So, yeah, I mean, you're not feeling well. What's with you today? So she says to her, we married, how many years are we married? Married 30 years. Did I not make him? She gets a little embarrassed. She's getting annoyed. Walks another few blocks. Again, he asks the question, did you make lunch? You know, she tells him, my dear husband, there is no lunch for you. No lunch. That means, yeah, you don't trust me? What is this? The Torah really says, as the Chassidus Shulam explained, the Neir Melech quotes his brother, the Torah says over here, you're asking what you're going to eat? You don't trust me? Really? You're not supposed to get anything over here now. Finish. You don't trust me. But I'll be kind to you with Sivisi es Berchusi. I'll bring a blessing. Now this blessing is a different type of a blessing. You know why this blessing is going to be? This blessing is going to be, there's going to be abundant growing, I say in English, a bumper crop. It's going to be really three times as much, but you need three times as work now. Now you're going to work three times as much. See, the first miracle was, it's going to be exactly the same crop. There'll be a nest that is going to last 3 years. I don't have to work, only 1 year's work. Whatever I work every year to process the grain, this is going to be the same amount of work. It'll be a blessing for 3 years. You don't trust me? I'm going to make an abundant 3 years. But now you're going to have to work for 3 years. And you have to store the food. And it's going to be, well, you ask for the bracha, I'll give you. So if a person doesn't even ask, you know what I mean, because he has such faith in Hashem, there's a high, incredible miracle. If you start asking, I'll still give you. And I will bless you, but it's going to be a little different of a blessing. The blessing is going to be that you're going to have to work harder for 3 years. Let me tell you, to explain this, you know, there's two stories in Nach that happened, this story. One story, it happened by Eliyahu Novi. You know, everyone knows this. There's a famous story, the times of Eliyahu Novi, there was no rain. There was no rain, and it was a hunger. And Hashem told Eliyahu Novi to go north to Tzidon. You know what Tzidon is? Northern Israel. And he says, go to Almana, and she will feed you. So the pasuk says he comes there, and he meets Almana in the outskirts of the town, who's collecting wood. And she says to, and he says to the lady, can you bring me a little cookie to eat? And she looks at Eliyahu Novi, and it's very interesting. She says, he says, in Chai, I swear the name of Hashem, he says, if I have a cookie to give you, I only have a kad hakemach. Kad is a small barrel, a little bit of flour, and a little bit of oil. I took these pieces of wood to make me and my son a cookie, and after this we're going to lay down to die from hunger. That's how bad the situation was. So Arianovi says, don't worry, Kayuma Hashem. Hashem said that there's going to be a blessing. Make me a cookie and then make yourself a cookie. You know how much a lady is thinking she's dying. And she's this Elianovi, says it. She listens, makes Elianovi a cookie, brings it to him, and then Elianovi tells her, I want to tell you something. Kad hakemach loikolsu. The small barrel of flour did not end. It's a bachas hashemen loikoser. And the small jug of oil will never end. Till the hunger will go. So the pasuk is telling us, you know what happened? She had a small kara. Every time she needed flour, she poured and just came coming. She needed now, you know, flour. The next day, it was always filled to the top. Every time she poured, it was still there. And the same was with the oil. That was an incredible miracle that she had. See, the Bodhisha made a miracle for her, for this lady, that the blessing was there, and it kept on and it stayed there. But it didn't grow a blessing. A lot happened. Just that little was there, and it was a great blessing. It came because she had faith. Eliyahu Novi told her, make me a cookie, then make yourself. Normal guy would have said, are you kidding me? All I have is a little flour. The next story was with Elisha. You know, Elisha, the Amun of Avadia was a get tzedek, he was a Novi, came and he said to Elisha that my husband left me over with a great debt. I owe him a lot of money. In the times of Elisha, if you didn't pay your debt, your creditors, they would took your children for slaves. So they did. So she says, what should I do? Ask you, what do you have in your house? I have nothing. I have a small jug of oil. That's all I have. She says to Elisha, tells to the lady, go gather all the vessels from your neighbors, as much as you have. Gather all the vessels, lock the door, and start pouring oil. And the pasuk says, she stood in one place, started pouring, and she didn't budge. And that small jug, oil was coming, and it was, you know, it took one of the children with a pot, took it away, another pot, she kept on pouring. She asked them, is there any other, Ma, there's no more pots left. She says, is there any broken pieces, shattered, you know, earthenware around? Yeah, we have in the corner a bunch of shattered earthenware. Wait, why did you bring that? Ma, I mean, it's broken pieces. Says, the one who said that this oil should not end will make those shattered things into a keli. They bring all the shattered things, and as they bring it, it became a keli in the hands. And she filled it up. As soon as they said to them, nothing left, they had oil all over a pot, and she went and they sold it, and she redeemed her children from slavery. They shouldn't be sold. So there's two great brachas here. The first one, this was just, you have the same amount, it was contained. Here, the second story, Elisha, she had to pay a debtor. You can't pay debtors with a small, you know. I always tell people, when people ask me, do I have betochen? I says, you can't feed your wife and children with betochen. You know, you can't tell them, you know, have betochen, everything is going to be away. You know, your wife is going to say, yes, I'm going to eat a slice of betochen here, and she needs bread, and the children need to eat. But you yourself, a person, the Torah demands us that we shall have great faith in Hashem. This is a great avoider. But not only that, but when you have betochen Hashem, immediately you get blessed. You know, there's a pasuk in the beginning of Yirmiyahu. The pasuk says, a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk says that what happened was that Klal Yisrael, the Yirmiyahu tells Klal Yisrael, Jewish nation, that they sinned horrible. On top of every mountain they were worshipping idols. The Rebbe Shalom is going to come and destroy Israel, and they're going to go into an exile. He says, but if you do tshuva, zecharti loch chesed nirayich, I remember the chesed when we were young. Lachtach achre b'midbar b'eretz lo yizariyu. Let me tell you what the pasuk is saying. We say in Rosh Hashanah in the davening. The Navi is saying 3 million people decided to follow Moshe Rabbeinu to the desert. Anyone who travels, and your wife prepares food, you always have a lot more food than you need. You know, you're traveling to New York, you're traveling here, you know, today we're afraid, who knows what on. I never traveled that I didn't have too much food. It never happened. And imagine 3 million people are traveling and they have no idea where the food is going to come. I was reading in the Junior Mishpacha magazine once. Still have juniors at home. Not that I read the Mishpacha magazine, but it describes over there, they asked someone in the army, in the American army, 3 million people, how much food you need for them a day. So this, the one who's in charge says, you need, you know, these locomotive trains that carry, these long, what is it called, boxcars. You need two of them, each a mile long, to feed 3 million people a day. 3 million people you have to feed. Anyone who's a caterer knows 3 million people is nothing to sneeze. And they all went with such faith, there was such a level, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, if you do tshuva, you don't deserve such a, but the faith you have then is so powerful that I will give you credit for. Not us, we credit, because the Medrash says, faith, you get paid immediately in this world. A person has incredible amun in Hashem, it will be given. Rav Nachman says in that passage, he says an amazing thought. He says the word emunah in Hebrew means to raise. It says in Esther, he oyman es hadassah. She raised hadassah. Hadassah's Esther. Esther was adopted by Mordechai. He oyman es hadassah. If a person has faith, he'll grow in life. Klal Yisrael went be'eretz lo yizur, a land. There was nothing to grow there. There was nothing. It was a desolate. Nothing. They went to Erez Loizaria, and you know what happened? Because they have faith, you grow. See, life has all the time pain. There is no such a thing in life without pain. Let's all be realistically speaking. There's a Yiddish saying, a very powerful Yiddish saying, when you're young and you have young children, you have young headaches. You get older, you have bigger headaches. And the children get married, you have bigger headaches. You know, life is, there's no such a thing smooth sailing. That is the most wishful thinking which does not exist. The life has ups and its downs and challenges upon challenges. Some people are challenged, unbelievable difficult. Some people not so difficult. But everyone has his challenge. There's no such a thing. If you have faith in Hashem, you will not fall apart. You will have the strength and you will grow through every difficult situation, no matter how difficult it is and how challenging it is. If you have faith in Hashem, you will not fall apart. You will be able to grow and learn from your situation, because emunah helps a person grow. You see, I always say this to myself, I don't know how you can live without faith. Because without faith, you have to ask yourself, what is this worth it? You know, it's amazing how Hashem makes us forget. You know, when a doctor told me once, happens to my roommate in Oman, and he's a pain relief doctor, told me, he explained to me, there is a illness in the face, which it's incredible painful. The only way to heal it is to cut the nerve. And the only reason he doesn't want to do it, because people 6 months later are so annoyed, they don't have no feelings on the face, you can't feel a kiss, you can't feel them. They forget the enormous pain, they were going to do anything. But people are so forgetful, Hashem gave him such a blessing, so when he makes such a treatment, then 6 months later they're angry. I say Hashem made it this way, but the truth is, every person in life has challenges. And the only way to overcome your challenges is knowing that it's exactly prescribed from Hashem. The more you tell yourself, the better you're able to overcome your challenges. I always say to people, I say to myself, imagine Hashem would have given you a CD. And you snips what's going to happen to you in 6 months, in 8 months, just a snip. And you see in the CD that I'm supposed to have a toothache in it. Oh, that's the toothache I saw. Great! It happened. Hashem said it. It's going to happen. It's not He gave me a toothache. He gave me the toothache. Imagine He explains to you over there in great clarity why you need a toothache. Wow, how good Hashem is to me. He's giving me a toothache. He explained it so well why I need a toothache. Now great. What's the question? See, the challenge is we don't know what's going to be in 10 minutes from now. We don't know what's going to be in an hour from now. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. We have no idea. This is the challenge of life. Not knowing, and you have to do the best that you can. The not knowing is the biggest challenge, and to have faith in Hashem, not knowing. None of us knows who's going to wake up tomorrow, not going to wake up. Things happen, and unfortunate things happen all the time. No one knows, and fortunate things also happen, but no one knows when, what, and where. This is the challenge. So what Reb Nachman is saying, the more faith you take into yourself, the much sweeter your life begets.
Faith is believing
that everything is Hashem. Believing that everything is Hashem has the script written, what's going to happen to you. It's not him, her, the boss, and the guy who bumped you on the freeway, nothing to do. It's exactly a script what for each person.
And how you grow that?
Well, when things happen, you know, that's Hashem wanted to happen. I gave the marshal, I said it here a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, my wife was in the hospital many times. Oh, Hashem, she's better. So, in the emergency room, I noticed something very interesting. There were nights, unfortunately, I was there. There were nights where it's boring, and the emergency room is dead, and they're joking with each other, the stitches, and nothing serious. All of a sudden, trauma comes, and everyone gets animated. The first time I saw it, something didn't make sense to me. Here, they're walking around, and they should say, "Oi!" So, the first time it happened, they pushed the girl out of the window, two flights, and they brought her in. I heard them say that. They were all animated. This is what we were trained for. So they come into the emergency room every night, the doctors. It's going to be a boring night, or it's going to be full of action. Right? They have no idea. We have no idea. We are here to take the challenges. See, they don't get, this was terrible. That's what we trained. We emergency room doctors, and we trained to save a life. Sometimes we were successful, sometimes not. That's what we are trained. We are here trained to take the challenge of a life. Sometimes it's terrible, but that's what we're here for. And the more you believe that everything is from Hashem, the sweeter your life is going to be. See, do you notice that 99% of the people walk around without smiling? You ever notice that? I always tell people, therapists could help people overcome depression, but I never saw someone going to therapy that he became happy, smiling. They could help you, deal with your depression, help you understand why you're so sad and what you're going through. But happiness, you must, when you have faith in Hashem, you can be happy. But if you don't have faith in Hashem, then life is gloomy. Yes?
There's a difference between believing everything happens from Hashem and believing that Hashem does everything in an optimal way for me.
Right.
Maybe I will get there eventually, but Hashem, why do I have to go through the other?
That's the belief in Emunah, that this has to happen to us. This is, I always tell myself and I'll tell people, none of us chose our parents. They didn't take you down Ralph's and it said, choose a father, choose a mother, choose your siblings, how tall you should be, how short you should be, how good looking you should be, who your neighbors are going to be, who your siblings are going to be, are you going to be a twin, not going to be a twin. I'm a twin. They didn't ask me to be a twin. No, what? Hashem doesn't ask any question. I didn't ask me, should I be a child of Holocaust survivors or not? Should I grow up in Williamsburg or not? Grow up with being brought in an interesting way. They didn't ask us. Hashem, with his ultimate wisdom, saw this is exactly what you need. This is your challenge, your work, what you have to do. This is the famous story of Rav Nachman that he explains with the Tam. This is a very, very famous story. Let me briefly say the story because it has such an important impact. Rav Nachman said the story was, he gives a mashal, it's a long story, but I want to focus on one part of the story. Story was, there was a Chacham and the Tam, and the Tam was a very simple person. And when he had to go make a living, quickly got married, and he became a shoemaker. In those days, one step above a schlepper. You know what a schlepper means? Schlepper is what we call in English a porter. Anyone could be a porter. You don't have to be trained. You know, you have to have IQ of maybe 50 or 60 to be a porter. You don't need, what do you need? Just schlep. That's called a schlepper. So the second thing above it was a shoemaker. He was a very simple person, extremely simple person. He couldn't make ends meet because he couldn't make a straight shoe. So his shoe was sold half the price. Imagine, a pair of shoes is $100, his shoe is $50. Yeah, come on, you think I'm going to pay $100? Your shoe is worth, what is your shoe worth? You know, the Machmas says in the story, it was a triangle. They had three angles, not two angles. So people paid half the price, so he couldn't make ends meet. So he worked all the time. He's always happy at working and eating and working. And he was always in a great, jolly mood. And the story goes, he was very, very poor. Sits down at the meal, and the wife cuts him a slice of bread. And he says, "What delicious bread you made. Wow! You're the most greatest cook in the world." Then he says, "Can I have a slice of fish?" He cuts him a slice of bread, and he starts eating the bread. He says, "This is such a good geschmacky gefilte fish. I mean, this is unbelievable, this gefilte fish." And she says, "I need soup." She cuts him another slice of bread and eats the bread. "This is the best soup that anyone could do." This is how he lived. Sounds very silly. That he wanted to drink, so he pours him, you know, a glass, and he says, "I want ale." They used to drink those days, and it was water. This is the most delicious ale that a person can have. "I want beer." She pours him a glass of water. And he says, "This is the best beer that you can imagine." So everything was great. I add, it doesn't say Reb Nachman, but I add, every time I looked at his wife, he says, "Wow, I'm the luckiest man, you're my wife." Because everything about him was great. So the next thing is, they were so poor, he shared an overcoat with his wife. That's how poor he was. So he had to go out in the beginning of the spring. "Give me my spring coat." Gives him the big overcoat. "What a great spring coat I got. This raincoat, I need a raincoat. It's raining." Gives again the overcoat. "That is, it's such a great coat. This is how he lived. One of the stories of Nachman adds to the story, which is profound of profound. He says in the story was, he comes to his wife and he says, "Look at the shoe that I made. Look, it's," kisses it, "it's great." She says to him, "My dear husband, if your shoe is so great, why do you get half the price for it? Your neighbor, the shoemaker, gets $100 for a shoe, you get $50. He looks at his wife, he says, "That's him and that's me." And he says, "Look, I bought the leather for so much, I bought the thread so much, I bought the glue so much, and I worked, and we're going to have food on the table and water on the table, and life is going to be great." See, I once said this story for a bunch of women. And I was brave enough and asked the woman, because it's a long story, would you rather want a husband, a Tam, or you rather have a husband who is a husband who is, what's his name, a chacham. And the story is a long story. He was self-critical, critical with everyone. But you want a critical husband. He had wealth, but he's so critical. Well, you made this soup. Yeah, horrible the taste. You know what I mean? This is the soup you made me. You didn't iron my shirts the right way. Well, not I ironed. The sheiks ironed it. But you should have told the sheiks to iron them better. And one said, put that picture down. All of them says, I'd rather live with a Tom who's full of passion about life and not live with a guy who's wealthy. You know, you're not going to have a life. A certain self-critical. The story is so amazing because he says, it's a long story, but the end, because of his happiness, he became the prime minister. If you take time for them. But the reason is, he was simple and he enjoyed every day. I always ask myself, how many of us really live today, I said, a geschmack a day? Most of us probably during the day was kvetchy and this was bothering me. It could have been a better day. This could have been better. Should have been better. Could have been better. My boss could have been better. I should have made more money on the market today. Whatever you're doing. No one says, wow! Do you know we're living in the 21st century and everyone came with the air-conditioned car here? No one walked, probably, unless you live around the corner. You know, we don't walk in California. If you were, you're 2 blocks away, you also drive. You know, we live in an unbelievable era. We live. Now we're learning Daf Yoni, and I try to point out learning Daf Yoni how every Yom Tov people have to shecht in the morning. You know, my children think that the chickens, young children think, grow in the freezer. You know, the woman has to shecht the chicken, they have to salt it. And it was our life is unbelievable blessed. Unbelievable. We live longer, we have more health, emotional, physical, mental health, whatever you name it. But one thing we do, we know how to kvetch like people who lived 500 years ago. Maybe better. You know why? We have time to kvetch. We have the luxury to kvetch. To be depressed is a luxury. You know, if you're running around making ends meet, there's no time to be depressed. You know, guys just running around trying to make ends meet, he has no time to sit down and let me take care of my feelings and let me talk about it and dwell about it and talk about it and get some feedback. You know, you gotta live, so there's no time. We're blessed and we're unhappy. So the truth is, Rav Nachman says this, that unhappiness comes from the curse of Adam Rishon. Unless you conscientious make it your business to be happy, you're not going to be happy. No one is born happy. You know how we come into this world? Screaming. If you don't cry, the doctor pinches the baby, makes the baby cry. We got to cry coming into this world. Never heard a baby, you know, laughing. Was born and then boom, a laughter. Because this world is a huge cry. And we have to work on happiness. But we are so, a part of the curse is that we always see the negative things about life. Always what's wrong. How many people, you know, get up and dance and say, I'm alive! Right? I'm blessed with so many blessings. Yeah, I'm blessed. But, you know, I should have and could have had more, and this should have worked out, that should have worked out. We always have, I'm sure all of you sitting here think that the rabbi would know my situation, he wouldn't tell me to be smiling. You know, come on. My situation is different. The truth is, if I always tell myself, if being angry, negative, kvetchy will make your life better, be angry, pouty, kvetchy, critical. But it never helps. I never saw, if you act happy, your life will be much more tolerable.
What about all the people that surround you? That, you know, it's like living in this negative.
Don't worry about them. You got to worry about yourself. The Tom, the wife asked him, what's with the, you know, you're such great shoes. How come you get? This is them. This is me. I focus on me. I'm going to be happy. And you know that when you focus on yourself, you're not busy. What he has, part of the depression, part of unhappiness. See, unhappiness needs a hat to hang it up on. You know, I noticed when people are unhappy, so this gets taken care of, then they get unhappy about that. That gets taken care of, then get happy about that. That gets unhappy. You know, they always need something to clutch about to be unhappy about. So, you know, but if your guy says, this is me, I'm not focusing about anyone, this is them, this is me, and I'll do the best that I could do for myself. So, you know, talking 45 minutes is not going to change your lives. You gotta start exercising. One of my daughters showed me from Dr. Tversky, he explains that in your mind is muscles. So people are trained to be negative, so it becomes automatic negative. It doesn't come because I accept such a nice, wonderful teaching now. No, I don't believe any one of you are going to walk out from here, from now on all you're going to smile. I doubt that that's going to happen. What's going to happen to you, what you could do, is work on it. Tell yourself, I am not going to catch. I'll look at positive. You know what also amazes me all the time? Most people get attracted to a happy face. You come into a place, you ever notice people love to find someone smiling. But again, so coming back to this, emunah helps enormously a person to have this. To know this is the Tam was born a Tam. He was a Tam. He was silly. But he was so happy with his life.
In this world, right. So, you know, one would say, okay, here's Tom, he can't afford anything, but he has an immense amount of people. Where was his reward?
Well, you have to finish the story. You should get hold of the story. And you know what happened to him? He became the prime minister. You have to read the story. It's too long for me to go into the story, but it's a medrash. The medrash says, an emunah, you get paid in this world. Other mitzvah, this emunah betochem. See, Rav Nachman says in one of his teachings, he says, it's not only you get paid in this world, when you have emunah betochem, your life is much sweeter. How many people wake up in the morning and say, you know, my life is so sweet? Most people get up in the morning and says, do I really have to get up? They would like to be under the covers for 3 days and hide in the bubble. You know, I have to get out of bed, you know. Most people don't have this, that, right, I have life. Because, you know, I'm sure everyone in this room has friends and acquaintances who are gone already. We have life. We are here to do mitzvahs. We are lucky people. See, there's another very important thing which I'm going to try to explain. One of the things that is also so hard is to have a relationship with Hashem. You know, it's hard enough to have a relationship with another person, with a wife, your children. It takes time to learn how to do it the right way, but it's hard for many of us to have a relationship with Hashem, because we have ups and downs, we sin, we mess up. It's very painful when we mess up. You know, I've said this to people, that I ask business people, how much energy goes into cleaning up the mess in the business? So I ask people who run a business, they take 30%, 40% of the time they come in, they clean up someone else's messes. See, it's much easier that I should come to your place and your life and say, let me help you clean up your mess. If I make a mess of my life, it's very depressing. This is what I did. This is what I messed up. And it's very depressing. And when we do mess up, we become very depressed. And we say, well, you don't know how to have a relationship with Hashem. That, Nosson explains, is the Yetzer Hara talking to us. Because you should know, there's nothing in the world that Hashem is waiting as much as we should get close to Him. Nothing. Hashem is waiting. Come, be close to me. I always say a mashal, you know, like a husband or wife is arguing and he says, why didn't you get this? You know, you argue, you're not going to get any place. Imagine you tell your wife, I want to get close to you. I don't know how to do it. I once tried in my life more than once and what? Cough to a God. What? If you say Hashem, see, the whole world catches for Hashem. You know, Hashem is patient, he's huge, Hashem is Ein Sof. He hears everyone cry. How many people say to Hashem, you know, Hashem, I would love to have a relationship with you. I would love to feel you, love you, fear you, worship you. Most of us are busy much more how to make a dollar, how to get along, do this. When you daven, you take time, Reb Nachman says, to do this, you become so much closer to Hashem. And you got to remember, no matter how bad we wear off, Hashem is is there to help you. He knows this. See, He created our Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara, boy, see, he is shrewd of shrewd, the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara does not sleep. You know what? You know the problem with us is? We sleep. The Yetzer Hara doesn't sleep. He is awake and tries everything to get us. Well said. Everyone has a tailored Yetzer Hara. You know what the Yetzer Hara wants to do with you? Do you know what he really wants to do with you? He wants to kill you. He wants you to sit and I'll get you and kill you. We have a Yetzer Hara to fight. There are many types of Yetzer Haras. Men have the challenge of sex. Women have the challenge and other challenges. But we have a Yetzer Hara in everything. Laziness, not to daven, not to do this. You know, it is an incredible Yetzer Hara. And we're here to fight it. And Hashem knows. You can't get the football. You hit the goal, carry the goal. Touchdown. You can't get a touchdown every play. I asked the guy, I'm not into sports. I asked the guy in baseball, what's a good thing? He says, if you hit the ball 3 times out of 10, you're a great player. Right? I'm like, correct, correct. Imagine, 7 times he strikes out, but he hits the ball 3 times, he's a great player. So if you strike out 7 times, you did messed up, you're doing the right thing. See, Baal the Yetzer Hara says, you messed up, you're a mess, forget it. And ball playing, he doesn't say that to you. In ball playing, he says, you hit the ball 3 times, you're a great player. You're going to make $10 million. I don't know the round amount, but you're going to make $10 million for hitting the ball 3 times out of 10. See, we look at life, Yiddishkeit, that we have to be a home run each time, and a touchdown each time, and then the goal. It's challenging. It is incredible challenging. We fall, we get up again. The trick is never to give up. Never. See, it truthfully is our blood, is Jewish blood is made not to give up. Because if not, I wouldn't be here. My parents are Holocaust survivors. And Holocaust survivors, we build Yiddishkeit all over. Because it's in our blood not to give up. In your Yetzer Tov, this in it, palm, don't give up. No matter how often you faltered, you did this, you messed up, you got to tell yourself, in life, so what? You go back. You do whatever you need to do. Guy's not going to say, you know, business is not going well. You know, till now business was going great, business went down. The heck with everything. You're immediately going to figure out how to make business. No heck about anything. So Yiddishkeit is the same. Never, never. We have a Yetzer Hara and we got to fight it. See, if we wouldn't have a Yetzer Hara, I want to tell you something. Life would be extremely boring. Imagine it's like a program. It's programmed. You're programmed that you get up in the morning. It's like, you know, if you have the computer, it works like a computer. you know, to the, it's no fun. When it's challenging, and I'm not into sports, but I always say this joke when there was the Super Bowl was in. I come the next day and I asked, I was about to hear why. They said it wasn't a good game. So why was it a good game? One team, one great. I'm not sure who played what. The guy says they won so easily. It wasn't worth watching it. See, the harder the game, the more you got to fight, the more interesting. If we wouldn't have to fight the Yetzer Hara at all, it's not, life would be boring. We came here, Hashem put us here to have the great challenge of life. And we hit the ball 3 times out of 10, we're a great player. So, what I want to leave with all of you tonight, 2 things. Work on being happy. It doesn't come by itself. Just because I spoke for an hour over here, no one's going to wake up tomorrow in a great jolly mood. You have to conscientiously work on it. It's exercise. And second, take time for yourself to have a relationship with Hashem, because that is what your soul is missing, that deep relationship with Hashem. Okay.